Grab a seat. If you guys wanted to sit down, feel free to. Now, a few weeks ago, one of our guest speakers asked us all the question of which fruit of the Spirit did we think that we showed best in our lives and which one we were worst at. And for a surprisingly large proportion of the people here today, you guys identified that patience was the fruit of the Spirit that you struggled most with. So, no pressure on me with today's talk then.
He waits. That's what he does. And I'll tell you what. Tick followed talk followed tick followed talk followed tick. Ahab says, I don't care who you are, here's to your dream. The old sailors return to the bar. Here's to you, Ahab! And the fat drummer hit the beat with all his heart. Here's to waiting.
There you go. That could be my message right there. Good things come to those who wait. Now, I wasn't alive when that advert first aired. But when I typed patience into Google, it brought up this advert, and I was absolutely blown away by it. I wonder who here can remember when it was first shown on TV and in cinemas? Anybody? There's a few. I see actually a surprisingly high number of hands, so it must have had a pretty big impact. He waits. That's what he does. Tick followed talk followed tick followed talk. This advert for the most famous Irish stout that's been made. It makes waiting feel like it's the most exciting and glamorous thing in the world. The surfers, the wave, riding it home, so awesome. And to be honest, the core message that the advert gives, good things come to those who wait, could be the title of today's talk, really. But we all know waiting isn't like that, is it? It's not exciting. It's actually incredibly frustrating. Now, last year, when we went skiing, I came back with a hand that looked like this. Now, have you ever broken a bone on your body and you've had to spend absolutely ages sitting around doing nothing? The waiting is a pain, literally, not a joy. Now, fortunately for me, I was only out for a couple of months, but the waiting was so, so difficult. Video games, football, even mundane tasks such as doing the dishes and hoovering house were impossible. Well, the last two weren't such a bad thing to be missing out on. But I think it's fair to say that I didn't have much patience at all during the recovery period from that injury. Now, I should also add, I'm not planning to do any extreme sports for the next few weeks when we're away, so please don't panic about me coming back with any more broken limbs. But in fact, part of my problem today coming to you is that I'm being a bit of a hypocrite. I really am not the most patient person in the world. Far from it, in fact. I'm part of an instant culture, and I'm sure every person here is also part of one. For us, when we want something, we want it right now. Next day, or even when I was living in cities like Newcastle, like Bristol and Manchester, it's not yet come to Newcastle, things like same-day delivery from Amazon were possible. We've got 24-hour shops on every street corner. Even the way that we pay now with our phones and cards is designed to save just a couple of seconds in our days so that we don't have to wait. We can download movies, songs, and games wherever and whenever we want, Our friends are available to chat to at the touch of a button, and our entire lives revolve around our timetable. So when we have to wait, we don't like it. But there's some things in life that happen in their own time. Sometimes people take a long time to get better, if they ever do. Relationships don't mend quickly, or sometimes at all. That job you've been waiting for months or years never appears. Real life isn't as instant as we like to think that it has become. Now, the good news is that the Bible has absolutely masses to say about patience. I could have chosen so many different stories or passages or verses to share with you this morning to illustrate the response that we should have when we have to wait for things. But given this is an all-age service and I want to keep things relatively brief, I've focused instead on just a couple of stories to share with you. The first of which comes towards the start of the Bible in Genesis chapter 17. I'd like to ask Liz if she would come and read it to us.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90?
One of the best examples of patience in the Bible is Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many people, but at a very old age, 75, and then obviously 90 as we went on to hear, they were still without any children of their own. Abraham and Sarah knew what God had told them, but they had yet to see evidence of the promise in their lives. How could Abraham be the father of many when he didn't have any children? Now, Abraham and Sarah trusted God, and to their credit, they waited relatively patiently for him. This doesn't mean that they waited perfectly. They tried to take matters into their own hands at times. But God's grace covered them, and he still fulfilled his promise in his perfect timing. Just like Abraham in the midst of our trials, desires, and wants, we need to remember to look to God, who always fulfills his promises. We need to be like Abraham, recognizing that God has the power to do what he says he will do. But there's also another lesson for us here, that sometimes there will be people, perhaps it's our bosses or colleagues, our parents or grandparents, who are going to ask us to wait for things. The story of Abraham here is teaching us that there are going to be times in our lives when we simply have to trust that other people know what is best for us, and we have to trust that they will do as they promised. Often as we wait, it can be tempting to make things happen on our own or to try and run ahead. But waiting patiently means that we wait without question or complaining. And in Abraham's case, and for us also, doing so will likely make the blessing we receive so much sweeter. Further to this, the Apostle Paul described Abraham's faith in the following way. "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." He was strengthened in his faith through the waiting. God wants to work in our lives as we wait for things. He wants us to use our time wisely while we wait. Maybe that's through praying in a traffic jam. Maybe we're listening to music as we're riding on a train. And maybe God wants actually for us to learn or do something far greater through the waiting. The letter written by James is a wonderful short letter that has so many truths to us in our lives as well. He says right at the start of his letter this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I know that years ago I might not have ended up here coming to this church had I not been recovering from an injury when I was much younger. I couldn't play sport, and I needed to replace that kind of social aspect of things with something else. I started coming here on a Sunday night to the youth group many years ago. And fast forwarding 14 years, I thank God daily for making me wait all those years ago so that I can stand here this morning to share with you today. God wants to work in our lives as we wait. Now, the next story I want to show you comes from a little later in the book of Genesis. It's only a few chapters on, but it's many years after the story of Abraham. And it concerns probably my favorite Old Testament character, Joseph. I've preached on the story multiple times, and for those of us who know the story of Joseph, we know what a powerful illustration of how God works as we wait it is. And I'd like to invite Carolyn, if she would be able to come and read for us from Genesis chapter 37.
So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man.
Joseph was his father's favorite, and because of this, his brothers did not like him at all. They wanted to hurt him and get rid of him. They chose to sell their brother, and as we read, he was brought to Egypt. Now, if you know the story, you'll know just how much waiting Joseph had to do whilst he was living under the rule of Potiphar, both in prison and eventually through his working as the prime minister of the land. Joseph found great favor with the king, and again, during a time of patience, he was used by God as there was famine across the land. This waiting was used by God to allow him to look after many, many people more than he could have ever imagined. And when the famine was at its worst, and people from all around the surrounding areas were coming to the grain stores that Joseph was in charge of, Joseph's own family came to here to receive goods that they did not have access to themselves. And without knowing it, Joseph was the one who was in charge of them, and they came to him. This is the response that Joseph gave to them when his brothers, not knowing who he was, went begging for food.
So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And then he said to them, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors."
The next truth that we discover about the fruit of the Spirit, that is patience, is that when we trust God as we are waiting, we allow him to work on our behalf. Joseph wasn't totally in control of things whilst he waited, and often he had no clue at all as to why things were happening to him. But the story shows us that sometimes we will have to show patience for things that we might never know why we had to wait for. There's going to be times when we have to trust God whilst we wait. We have to allow him to work things out for us, even when we ourselves can't see the outcome. Joseph could have been scared and angry at what his brothers did to him, but instead he faithfully worked with a good attitude whilst he waited through his life in Egypt. He became friends with the king, and God used his new relationships to eventually provide for his family when they were at their neediest. There was no way that Joseph could ever have known that he would be the one who would end up saving his family the family that had betrayed him all those years ago. Joseph trusted God in the midst of his waiting, and he allowed God to work on his behalf. In our lives, do we trust that God has a plan for us, even if we can't see it ourselves? Or are we quick to dismiss opportunities because they don't seem to lead on the pathway that we think is best for our lives? And sometimes it can feel that God acts really, really slowly. That prayer that we prayed never got answered. That person doesn't meet Jesus. The person who's terminally ill passes away. We're promised the fullness of God's kingdom, but waiting for it is really, really difficult, especially when all around us, we're not used to this idea of waiting. At Alpha this week, this was the exact question that we were looking at. Are we trusting that God is in control of our lives and those around us, even when it seems that we are constantly waiting for the next thing to happen in our lives? The story of Joseph teaches us that there will be times in our lives when we have to wait, and we're not always told why. But in these times, we must trust that God is working both in our lives and in the lives of others, however confusing it might be. And finally, the third story, or more than a story, the third person that I want to mention is Jesus himself. As we'll discover in a few weeks' time, Jesus displayed unlimited patience for us. And there's so much for us to learn from looking at his approach to situations, not least the one regarding humanity itself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 say this: "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." There's some translations of the Bible that replace the word immense there with limitless. Can you even begin to imagine what limitless patience would look like? It can get really frustrating when it seems like someone's constantly getting away with causing trouble. Often when somebody does something wrong, we want to punish that person ourselves. But look at God's response to us when we repeatedly got things wrong. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I don't want to suggest for 1 minute that this means that we can always get away with doing bad things, nor should we always let other people get away with doing bad things. There's always a cost to sin. But God is so patient that he keeps waiting. And sometimes there's no choice other than to discipline someone. But this should always be the absolute last resort when there is no other solution. We can probably all think of examples and times when we immediately snapped rather than allowing time for something or someone to change. God left humanity for thousands of years before finally having to provide a last resort option for us. He sent a savior for each and every one of us, and he loves us all so much that he doesn't want anyone to miss out on the opportunity to have their sins forgiven. And every day he waits patiently for people to come to him. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance." God has been patient with you. He's been incredibly patient with me. And every day our patience is tested, and we can hope through that increased. I encourage you this week to look at how God might be at work in your difficulties and in your tiny annoyances. Try to discover if God is wanting to teach you something through your waiting. And if you don't think he is, then is it a time for you to get to know him better? God always uses our waiting for good. And God always uses our waiting to build us up. Let's pray together.